Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I don't think you realize what an incredible encouragement it has been for me just in the first couple of weeks that I've been here to look out and to see an audience of this size. When you come from a place where there are about 25 to 30 on average in attendance, while it's a blessing to be with them, sometimes it can feel a little discouraging. So I appreciate everyone that's here this morning. In particular, I found, as was told to me before I came here, we do get to see a lot of visitors. And it's encouraging to me as a Christian to realize that when people are on vacation or are doing things that they, quote, want to do, one of the things that they choose to do and that they want to do is to take time out and to serve God the Father and His Son in the way that was commanded. Most of you have found that I speak from a very, very simple perspective. When I originally put this lesson together on the idea of blind Bartimaeus, I was originally going to put together a lesson that I was going to call Lessons from a Blind Man, a Poor Man, and a Wee Little Man. And you can guess who some of those people might be and how that lesson might have gone. You probably have also come to realize that it doesn't take much for me to get started talking, and pretty soon it goes a lot longer than is expected. So what I have gone ahead and done is each one of those individuals that was going to be a part of that lesson have within themselves an entire lesson to give, and even then some. Now, we've already read from the text. If you want to open your Bibles back up to Mark and the 6th chapter, or excuse me, the 10th chapter and verse 46, you can turn there. I thank Jeff for taking the time out to ask me what we were doing this morning and to read along so that we have already set the stage for what the lesson is about. And what we are going to do this morning is simply do the exact same thing that any one of you could do in a study with other people on your own. We're going to simply open up the Word of God. We're going to read an account and look at an account in the Word of God. We're going to see what it meant at the time that it was written. And we're going to see what we can take from it for us today as well. I mentioned before, and you've seen it, I don't like to hear the Bible is not relevant today. It hurts me every time I hear it or think about it, because it's just not true. And I believe it is our responsibility, as I mentioned earlier, to make it relevant today. That's what you and I can do, and that should be something that's happening every time anybody is standing up and speaking from the Word of God. Very simply, the first thing that we can look at, as you can see on the board, is his pitiful condition. How is this man described? We know that he was blind since birth. Many would say that we would not want to be in that particular condition. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through life not being able to see the beauty that God has created. We know he was a beggar. It tells us in verse 46 that he's a beggar, that he sits outside the gate. So we must know then that he must not have a whole lot. It's not like today where we find beggars out on the street corners that are wearing brand new shoes and brand new clothes and still asking for money. This is a person that truly had very little and was in a condition that none of us would want to find ourselves in. He's a good portrait of those that are outside of Christ, because we know that those who are outside of Christ can be looked at as being spiritually blind, as opposed to physically blind. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Very quickly, we'll look at verses 3 and 4. Then we'll continue on to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we'll look at verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They are blinded spiritually to what it is that God has to offer. Again, turn forward a little bit in Paul's writings in Scripture, Ephesians the 4th chapter, verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So we can find a correlation between the physical, pitiful, if you will, condition of blind Bartimaeus and the pitiful spiritual condition that one would be in, as we see, simply lost if they don't listen to the Word of God. We could also say that a lost person could be compared to a spiritual beggar. Look at Acts the 4th chapter and verse 12. I made a note here that says simply that, like Bartimaeus, the lost person is also a spiritual beggar. They have nothing within themselves to produce salvation. They have something that they need outside of themselves for salvation. Acts the 4th chapter and verse 12, many of us know it, many of us could probably quote it. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We are in the condition of a spiritual beggar if we don't have our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians the 4th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 begins, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast." Without Jesus Christ, people in the world today are simply sitting by the highway side begging as Jesus passes them by. Stop and think about that. Without Christ in their life, they're no better off as they sit there and beg as their Savior continues and moves on by. Once we've seen his pitiful condition, we can see his persistent cry. Looking at verses 47 through 49, if we read those again very quickly. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on him.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.'" Even though Bartimaeus was blind, he was able to see some things that the others around him couldn't, who had their vision blocked. In these verses, he proves that even though he is blind, he still has, as I had printed on the first slide, and I apologize, we didn't see that, he still has 20/20 spiritual vision. And how do we know that? We know that, first of all, because we see in these verses, he recognizes who Jesus was. He understood. He must have heard about the miracles that had been performed by Jesus. He must have heard about the lepers, the lame, and the demon-possessed, even the dead that Jesus touched and made whole again. And as he sat there on the highway, hearing travelers as they talked one to another, he had heard about Jesus, and he knew what Jesus had done for others. He could do for him as well. He had heard what others had to say. He recognized who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ could do for him. He understood. Do we, as Christians today, recognize just who Jesus Christ is and what he can do for us? Are we, as Christians, similar to those people that he heard walking and talking about what Jesus Christ has done? Can we be those people that others hear talking about Christ that cause them to see who he is and cause them, as we find Bartimaeus, to want to have audience with him, to want to see and be with him. Again, he says he recognized what he had done. One must recognize who Christ is. Knowing what he did for the others, he can do for you. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe without a doubt that he will do what he says. We must believe that he will give the reward that we are looking for. We know from Scripture that Bartimaeus recognized what Jesus could do. He exercised his faith, which is in fact the key ingredient for anything from God, for receiving anything from God. He knew what a great opportunity was sitting in front of him that could pass by and never return. Stop and think about this man a little bit again. For years, he had been by the side of the road begging. But as Jesus passed by, it dawned on him that if Jesus truly was who he claimed to be, this was his greatest day of opportunity. So much had already gone by in his life, but he recognized this is the day. This is the time that I have to be healed, to become better. What's the thought for us? Do we recognize this is the day? This is the time now that Christ is here for each and every one of us to react to. Bartimaeus, though blind, was able to see opportunity when it looked him in the face. Now, there may be those in the room this morning who need to see that today is the greatest opportunity they have ever faced in their life. That they have the opportunity this morning to come to Jesus, to be forever saved by his grace. And that if they ignore this opportunity and choose to go out and on in their own sin, then there is nothing in front of them but hell. There is nothing left for them but to continue to sit by that gate and be that spiritual beggar as Jesus Christ passes by. If Bartimaeus had sat still that day and said nothing, then the next day would have been like every day before. If he hadn't taken some kind of action, if he hadn't seized the opportunity that was there, he would have just woken up the next morning, sitting there again by the gate, in the same condition that he was in the day before, continuing to beg and to need. He would have sat by the road as that beggar until the day he died. So if you think about it, he may have been blind, but even he could see that unless he did something about the situation, he was doomed to a life of misery and darkness. We need to recognize if we don't do something about our situation, we're left to a life of doom and darkness. Every last person in this room needs to understand that Jesus Christ loves them. You can see I've got a note on here. If one allows salvation to pass them by this morning, the opportunity to be saved may never come again. We talked about the fact this morning in class that there will come a time that that opportunity is gone. I believe it was Ernest that mentioned we have that opportunity for as long as we're alive. Each day is that opportunity. Why wait? Because we don't know what's going to happen. If each day is that opportunity, that means that opportunity is today, right now, as you sit and think on the lesson. Look at Genesis, the 6th chapter, and verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I will not strive with man forever. Do we get in the mode, like some people in the world today, and even in the Lord's church today, get into where we just assume that it's not going to happen in our lifetime? It hasn't happened for years, and it's not going to happen in my lifetime. So until I get to a point where I know that I'm near the end of my life, until I get to a point where, as was mentioned in Bible class this morning, every day I'm reading in the obituaries and I'm starting to see people that I know, maybe people that I grew up with in there, until I get to that point, I'm just going to continue to live however I want and not seize the opportunity and not seize the moment. Isaiah, the 55th chapter and verse 6. Such a simple statement, but such a powerful one. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isn't that exactly what blind Bartimaeus did? Did he not call upon him while he was near? Now, he had a big advantage over all of us because he was there in the flesh at that time. But the point is that we need to seek the Lord while he can be found. And if it says, while he can be found, we can understand that there will come a time when he can't be found any longer. There will come a time when we may not be able to do that. So we need to take advantage now. Continuing on a little bit in this thought, he sees that Christ's way is far better than his own. He recognizes that if he has the opportunity to be healed by Jesus Christ, that would be far better than to sit in darkness begging as people pass by. There's a recognition that there is something better. We can understand, and for those of us that have chosen to be called his children and have chosen to be buried in the waters of baptism, recognize that after salvation, there will be a change of direction in our lives. Let's first, before we read the account in 2 Corinthians, I want you to consider a couple of things again from Bartimaeus. After he receives healing from the Lord, he was told, go your way. However, he sees that Christ's way is far better than his own, and he follows Jesus. I believe there's a lesson for every person who has been saved, especially any that have come to Jesus in recent days. After salvation, there will be a change of direction in your life. After you rise up from the waters of baptism, not as the world sees that as the end all to what you need to do, that is simply the beginning. And now you walk, and now you walk in a different direction. Now you walk in a spiritual direction. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that true for blind Bartimaeus? To sit in total darkness your whole life, and then all of a sudden, imagine, the darkness is gone, and you see the world for what it is for the very first time. Stop and think about a spiritual application to that too. But I just can't help but imagine what it must have felt like and how awe-inspiring it would be to have lived life in total darkness and all of a sudden to have your eyes completely opened. It's something to think about and something for us to consider. One of the other things that we find with Bartimaeus is he repeated the cry. Or, we could say, he didn't give up after he said something the first time, and maybe he didn't think he was heard. He didn't stop. Those who stood by and those who were traveling with the Lord tried to make Bartimaeus stop crying out to the Lord. They tried to hold them back. We should be, as Bartimaeus was, and allow nothing to keep us away from the Lord. Despite the fact that the crowd that we walk in, the world that we live in today on a regular basis, is going to try to hold us back, we should be crying out all the more. We should be crying out and saying, Lord, here I am. Hear my cry. His determination was so great to get help from the Lord that he continued to cry out and, in fact, simply got louder. When they tried to squelch and to quiet him down, he got all the more verbose and got louder because he knew what he needed. He was not hindered or bothered by the opinion of the others. He needed something from the Lord, and he was determined to get it regardless of what anyone thought or what anyone did. You and I need salvation from the Lord, and we need to be that determined to get it regardless of what anyone else may do, what anyone else may say, or what anyone else may think. We need to recognize and appreciate the lesson that we can learn from this blind beggar, because it's a tremendous lesson. There's truly nothing in life worth going to hell for. There's nothing so great here on this earth that you could do that it would ever override the sheer torment of an everlasting hell. Absolutely nothing. Situations, circumstances, and people may try to stand in your way and may try to keep you from Jesus, but you should allow nothing to keep you away from the Lord, who loves you and wants more than anything to save your soul. What's the greatest gift that you could give Jesus Christ? Allow him to do in your life what he wants to do more than anything else in the world. We understand that in physical terms. What do we feel is the greatest gift come a holiday season or a birthday that we can give our child? We feel the greatest gift that we can give is the one that he really wants, that they really want. And it's a joy to us as parents when we're able to do that. It makes us feel good. If you really stop and think about it, some of the thought in the world today that it's more exciting and more blessed to give than to receive, it's absolutely true when you really stop and think about it and when you have a mindset that isn't selfish. We need to be like Bartimaeus and get serious about coming to Jesus. He's worth any price. He's worth any loss. He's the only one worthy of your soul. When you get serious about coming to him, then nothing, we talked about this earlier, not family, not friends, not some pleasure or pet sin that you may have, nothing will be able to keep you from getting to him. Looking a little bit further, he received this response in which his faith was honored, and he received an audience with the Lord Jesus. His persistent cry paid off. His devotion, his effort, and his work got him an audience with the Lord. Your efforts, your desire, your aim, and your not allowing anyone to prevent it from happening will allow for you to one day have an audience with the Lord. And not just an audience like we have here on earth up to him, but an audience with him in a more face-to-face format. To actually see who he is. Just like Bartimaeus, who was probably obstructed by the crowd a little bit from being able to see exactly what he looked like. But because of his efforts, he gets brought to him and is able to see, and he's blessed for that. Jesus Christ will never be too busy to hear your cry. Jesus Christ is never too busy to hear you. Ask yourself, are you never too busy to cry to him? Are you never too busy to speak to him? And not just when times are rough, but and also in the good times, to say thank you. It's appreciated. We also need to understand that there is personal cost that goes along with seeking after God the Father. When Jesus called, the Bible says that Bartimaeus cast away his garment. Stop and think about it. This means he must have thrown it aside or cast it away so that he could jump up and quickly get to Jesus. But what does a coat mean to a poor, blind beggar? Could have been the only coat possibly that he had. We don't know this. We know that he was a beggar and he was blind since birth, so we know he doesn't have much. So there was a cost in being willing to throw that aside so that he could get to Jesus. What if someone had come along and picked it up? How's he going to replace it? He doesn't have the money. We don't know of any family that he might have, or at least if he did have family, they didn't take care of him. So he wouldn't have had that avenue to go to. These are the kinds of questions man allows to get in their mind to prevent them from acting. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know what? For Bartimaeus, it wasn't a question. He didn't stop and worry about any of those things. The only thing he was worried about was he knew the reward was worth the cost, whatever it was. And so his focus was not on what it takes to reach the goal. His focus was on the goal itself. His focus was on the prize. And he didn't allow anything to obstruct or get in the way. We do need to understand that coming to Jesus is not without personal cost. Sometimes the price we're paid, we're called to pay, is very high. Many have probably lost family and friends who refuse to believe as you do what the Word of God has to say. There are those that have maybe even given their lives. We just simply need to understand that however high that cost may be, in the end, the cost is cheaper than anything compared with the death of your soul. Mark the 8th chapter, verses 36 and 37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange? Would you give your only coat? Would you give a separation from family because they refuse to believe? What are you willing to give to show Jesus Christ that you recognize that His is the only way? In verses 51 and 52, we find His powerful cure. We find that He was taken care of. Bartimaeus' response to Christ was one simply of pure faith. He trusted Jesus to heal him, and then Jesus healed him, and he received his sight. This is the same thing that will happen when a lost person responds to the gospel. Immediately when faith is exercised, the power of God moves in that person's life, and God saves them instantly and completely. There's no time span that we hear of that Christ touches him, and over the course of time, his eyes are opened, and he goes through a process. No. Salvation, the cure, is instantaneous, and it is complete. There is nothing more that can be done at the point at which you rise out of the waters of baptism. If you rise out of the waters of baptism, you stumble on the way out, you hit your head, and you die, you're saved. There's nothing more at that point that you needed. Now, that would feel like a tragedy, but that would be a blessing too. Because you would be saved. Because at that moment, everything that you needed was there. And you didn't have time to allow yourself to lose focus of the goal that you had that day. Just mentioned that it will save them. If one trusts anything other than Jesus for their salvation, they're in for a rude awakening. It's Jesus Christ or nothing. We already looked at Acts, the fourth chapter, and verse 12 that talked about there's salvation found in none other. And in John 14 and verse 6, Christ himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other cure available for your spiritual sickness. There's nothing else you can take that's going to save you. There's no other religion. There's no other teacher. There's no other philosopher. There's no other education that you can acquire. There's only one thing. We understand that when we see the idea of how medicine works in the world today. There may be only one form of medication for you to take that will help heal you of your sickness. And there's a lot of other choices out there for you to take. There's plenty of other medications that you could take, but they're not going to do a thing for you. There's plenty of other religious people in the world today. There's plenty of other forms of religion in the world today that you could choose to take, but you're going to get the same result. And the result is no cure for your sickness. And if there's no cure, eventually you will suffer and you will die in your sickness. That's true today spiritually as well. Let's look a little bit further. Lastly, we see that he has a preferred course. Verse 52, after he's healed, he's told to go his way. However, he wants to be near the one who had healed him and saved him. And that makes sense, doesn't it? When you receive what would be the ultimate gift that you could ever receive, you're going to want to be a one around that, gave that to you. You'll want to be with him. You'll want to follow after that. That makes sense. This should remind us that when salvation comes into a life, there will be a desire for the things of God. The saved person will want to walk with the Lord in holiness. They will want to be around other saints, and they will want to be in the church and be a part of what God is doing in their local congregation. There will be a profound change of life, and it will be dramatic. Dramatic, as I said earlier, is going from pure darkness to seeing the world, to being able to see. That's dramatic. When Jesus saves you, he will make you alive in him. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, we did this too. This was us too. Could be us in this room today before we make the decision to do what's right. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared for us to walk in good works beforehand. It's us who make the choice to walk in works that are not of him, in things that are negative. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Here's a little illustration we'll use for a conclusion. One day, a Christian and a communist were sitting on a park bench watching the world go by. As they watched, a poor drunken beggar walked by dressed in rags. The communist pointed to the beggar and said, "Communism would put a new suit on that man." To which the Christian responded, "Maybe so, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit." Makes good sense, doesn't it? Jesus Christ can change the inner person, not just the outer garment. Jesus Christ is the one way to salvation. Jesus Christ was the cure for blind Bartimaeus. Jesus Christ is the cure for spiritual blindness for us today. As you all know, at the conclusion of every lesson, it's convenient. It's not the only time we should see that it exists, but it's convenient to offer up once again and remind those in the audience that if you have not made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ, the time is now. Like Bartimaeus, the time to act is this very moment. The time to see the world as it really is now. Because there may not be a tomorrow. Or, if we have chosen to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have allowed the crowds of the world today to distract us from our goal, to allow us to look toward other things for salvation, and to act in ways that would not be in the way that God would have us act, we have an opportunity always to come to him, to repent of those sins, to ask for his forgiveness, to pray to him, and to once again find ourselves in that same spiritual standing that we first found ourselves in when we rose up out of the waters of baptism. Completely washed once again, immediately cured of whatever sickness spiritually has harmed us. Or, if you're simply just struggling, and you're not saying that you have sinned at all in your life, but you need the support of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need the help. Brothers and sisters, as Ernest says on a regular basis, we are the only support system that we have in this world. And that's a great mindset to have, and I appreciate it every time he says it. And I appreciate it every time anyone else says it. We're here to shine as lights to those in the world that have not yet come to God. And we're here to support one another who have already made that same decision so that we can all go out and shine as lights. That being said, whatever need you may have,